And welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we have an interview with Anna Doble, who has written one of my favourite books of the year. It's called Connection is a Song, coming up and coming out through the music of the 90s. And I was just saying that it's a very, very touching book. Anyway, Anna, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Lovely to be here with you, David.
Ben, technically.
Ben. So you're Ben.
Yeah.
David's Zoom link or Teams link is at Google Meet.
Exactly.
Let's do that again.
It's all good. I've been reading it for the past 2 days, and I've been absolutely racing through it. So I've not quite finished. I've got to where there's a lot of Elastica chat. You've got your haircut, and the sort of, it's not totally chronological, is it? Like, it's sort of, it kind of goes and forward and back a bit. So you've sort of started at university and you sort of haven't.
Yeah, so it is sort of, it's a journey through the music of the 90s, and I do start the book aged 11, as you said. So it's sort of chronological to a point. But then I think we all, as music fans, know that music finds you at different times. So you might get into a band that have already had 2 or 3 albums out, but when they find you is the time they mean the most to you. So I suppose that there are moments where I jump about, particularly with the ending, because not wanting to give it away, because Ben, you might not have got to the ending yet, but and listeners may not, but Massive Attack, you know, probably the defining dance music record, if not record full stop, of the 90s, is Unfinished Sympathy, released in 1991, but actually, for me, not significant in my life until I was much older, so the end of the decade, so 98, 99. So it's that feeling that music sort of ties up loose ends, but also sends you on new journeys. So a song that I'd watched on Top of the Pops in the UK on TV as a 11, 12 year old and thought, oh, that's interesting, but I think it's for people that are more grown up than me, then later on becomes very, very much a soundtrack of my sort of coming of age at university. So but hopefully, you know, whatever era of music you're into, this idea that music connects you with people, with places, sends you on journeys of discovery, makes you find new music as well, is the sort of the thread running through the book.
Well, this is one of the things I love about it, because although it is very much based on the music of the 90s, I think anyone, even if you don't care about the music of the 90s, you would find something to connect with you, you know, because it's about how you feel about music. It's about how you get to know people through music, that kind of thing.
Absolutely that. So it's about, you know, some of it's really literal. Like, there's a moment where I'm sitting in my friend's blue mini. So because I look very young for a long time, so I found it hard to get into pubs and clubs in my mid-teens and later teens. We would just sit together in her car, which is this old Mini Cooper, and listen to music on this little crackly cassette player. And so moments like that are very literally that. You know, middle of 1995 for me is soundtracked by a mixture of Radiohead, Blur, and the Spice Girls, and sitting in that slightly damp car with my friend talking about life. And then later on, it's kind of, you know, it's more sort of the scenes you find. So if you're lucky enough to go to college or university, you often find your tribe there. I think the internet's changed this, though, because it's easier to find niche music and fandoms that, you know, you can join online before you're physically amongst people, as I was at Leeds University in the UK and sort of finding people who loved the same bands as me and going to gigs with them.
See, one of the things that really blows me away about the book is how much you remember. Like, you know, it starts when you're 11, and there's like very vivid descriptions of your house and, you know, what you were doing and kind of things like that. How on earth do you have such a good memory?
Oh, do you know, that's a really good question, because I would not say I have a brilliant memory in day-to-day life now at all. I forget things I've done, you know, a week ago. I think it is, again, it's the power of music. It's the fact that I find, and all this began when I wrote a blog during the pandemic about all the vinyl I own. So I sort of played all my records and just allowed them to guide me back to memories. So rather than sort of that thing we do with I guess streaming, which is build playlists and hop about between eras and songs and maybe not listen to whole albums, what I did then was I listened to a whole LP and really gave it my full attention. And what I found was the music itself took me to very, very niche and vivid memories. So from how I felt as a kid growing up, but also things like the colour of my parents' curtains in the house where I was only four, or the smell of my mum cooking when I was 12 and coming down for tea when I was doing my homework. And then even the common room, you know, listening to the Stone Roses in the sixth form common room just reminded me of these seats we would sit along with kind of big square cushions on them, and how you'd put your hand down the back and it would come back with, you know, fluff, maybe a pencil from someone's art project and a Rizzler paper. And I, yes, there's a bit of artistic license in the descriptions, but I do remember that feeling and remember sitting there and lounging around with my friends, but it was only the music that takes me back there.
Is this why you wrote the book in the present tense?
I guess so. I mean, yeah, I didn't want it to feel like here I am now, much older, looking back, you know, in the traditional memoir sense of the word. You know, I didn't want it to feel like, and now I've got everything in my life resolved, you know, politicians and big rock stars and write memoirs. I just wanted to write a book about how music is an incredibly life-affirming source of you know, kind of enjoyment, emotion and connection between people. So I guess to make it feel that way and sort of summons up the feeling that music actually gives you as a music fan, it felt like the present tense and taking people who are reading it or listening to it back with me by the hand, and us sort of, I guess, joyriding or adventuring around the 90s together is what I wanted it to feel like.
Well, I mean, was it a conscious decision, or did it just sort of, it came out naturally in present tense and you didn't have to think about it?
These are brilliant questions, Ben. I feel like this is quite almost a psychological thought, isn't it? Like, why did I didn't consciously say, I am going to do this in the present tense. The publisher did not say, you must do this in the present tense. I guess when I began to write and submitted the first sort of drafts of early chapters, then it just felt right. And I carried on. I think I've mixed tenses a bit occasionally, because even within the present, I sort of jump to the future sometimes as well. So a tiny little bit of time traveling happens.
So we talked a little bit about this off camera, and it's a difficult question, but it was something because I was trying to describe your book to someone earlier this morning. And it was quite hard to actually describe it, to like say, you know, what type of book it is. So, I mean, if you had to do so, what would you say it is?
Well, it is a memoir, but I find that a bit of a grand word. It is a story about beginning in 1989 on New Year's Eve and ending pretty much in 1999. So it's a story that takes the reader through the decade of the 90s with me, through the things happening in my life as a regular kid growing up in the north of England, going to school, a state school, you know, watching the same TV shows that other kids would have been watching in that era, and then falling in love with music and finding that music was the route to finding out who I was, which again may sound a bit grand, but I think we all have that. Those of us who are real passionate music fans all have that feeling that music shapes us and helps us become the person we always wanted to be. So I was painfully shy in 1989. I was into football. I played football as a kid, which was a bit more unusual in those days for girls to play than it thankfully is now. So I'd play football and then sit in my, you know, collect the football stickers. And then all of a sudden, Italia 90 happens, the World Cup tournament. And I get into, obviously, the football itself, but the music. So World in Motion, New Order, being the big track for fans of England. But also the whole tournament sort of had a musical air to it. Nessun Dorma, Pavarotti. You know, it was a big musical moment for people. And through that, and through other music, and through my sister, my older sister was a big music fan then too. I then journey through sort of through each era of the 90s. I'm into pop music because I'm young, and then I'm into indie music, and Britpop comes along mid-90s and is a massive deal, and I go to lots of gigs. Later on in the book, I get more into dance music. So you go from, say, Suede and Elastica and Blur and Oasis to Underworld and Massive Attack and the KLF, who, of course, a bit earlier, really, but in dance music terms, I didn't discover them until I was a bit older. So I'm journeying through the songs, and in each chapter, there are sort of two songs that weave together that, for me, mean a lot, and I hope to listeners and readers mean a lot. But even if not, they will know what the songs for them were. So when you were 16 and you were hanging around and able to go out with your friends and for the first time, what was the song that you all sang together? You know, what was the song that you loved but they all hated? I think that's what I hope. So each chapter journeys around my life, but with hopefully lots of little doorways for people who are reading to jump in with their own memory as well.
So I have a theory. You lived in Knaresborough. Have I pronounced that right?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Which is a small market town in North Yorkshire. And I was living at the time in Norwich, which is sort of, you know, neither of which is a big city. I have a theory that people who live in smaller towns have a different relationship with music than people in big cities, because we're not so close to it, and it's more like dreaming, you know, like how in the book you're dreaming about, you know, going to the Good Mixer or whatever, which I do. Am I talking rubbish, or is that does that make some sense?
I think you're speaking sense, Ben, because, I mean, before the era that I'm exploring, which is 90s music, you know, we had things like the Sound of the Suburbs is a really great compilation, like 70s post-punk, isn't it? And it's this idea that the suburbs generate this urgent need to sort of be creative because, you know, my hometown's very nice, but ultimately it's quiet. You know, everything closes down in the evening. To be a young person in these smaller, quieter parts of the world and in the UK, you know, small market towns like mine, you rail against it as a kid. You want to escape and go and find where the action is, where the gigs are happening, where the clubs are, where culture is happening. So it kind of creates, I think, an urgency. So great writing, great poetry, great music, great art sometimes comes from these places that look very grey and very dull. I mean, Brett Anderson of Suede speaks about it in his book, about, you know, kind of desperately wanting to get out of small town England and into the city. So I think there is truth in it. I mean, you know, going a bit, you know, another era, the 80s, the Smiths, they wrote a lot about, you know, humdrum towns and wanting to escape sort of, you know, the sort of mundanity of their existence. I mean, maybe it's a mirage that there is this more exciting place to go. But I think when you're young, the idea of getting to a city is quite a powerful thing. And therefore, people who are living in the suburbs or in small town, you know, kind of countryside areas or little towns, they can be the more creative because they're having to create their own idea of things rather than having it all on their doorstep.
I was wondering, are you a nostalgic person?
I guess it's a one. What is nostalgia? Is it a desire to go back to the past, or is it a desire to acknowledge things that happened in the past? Is it just appreciating? I guess the book is nostalgic for the 90s and the feeling of optimism of that time. You know, in politics and in the wider world, not just in music, there was a feeling of hope, certainly in the UK. So I guess in that sense, I am nostalgic, but I don't think nostalgia is all that useful. Is it an emotion or is it what? It's not really very useful day to day when there's only going to be the future now. You know, we have to move forward. So therefore, I don't want to spend all my time, for example, listening to music that's 30 years old, as much as I love it. And I hope the sort of the descendants of things I love, you know, music connects you to new music and you can kind of time travel, can't you? You can, through one band, you can discover the bands that influenced them. And then from them, who are the younger bands coming up in their wake? So I hope music is a bit less about nostalgia and a bit more about connecting the dots and finding new experiences.
So as I mentioned, I'm 2 years older than you, I think. And so I have very many of the same musical tastes, same of the musical reference points. And I was absolutely fascinated by some bands who don't appear in the book. And as I say, I think I've come about two thirds of the way through, so I may have this wrong. But Nirvana have only appeared once in a very, very brief note. Which kind of surprised me. Were you not into Nirvana?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you've asked me this, because as I was writing the book, I did feel kind of, I said to Pete, who's a wonderfully supportive publisher and very knowledgeable on music as well. He's at 9/8 Books. I said, oh, I haven't mentioned this band and that band. Does it matter? And he just kept saying, no, Anna, it's your journey. People will relate to your kind of obsession with this band, but not that band, because they will have the equivalence. So for me, American music at that time, so we're talking, what, 90, when Nirvana were huge, obviously 92, 93, into 94. One of my best friends, and that's in the book, Yorkie, she was a huge Nirvana fan. And I talk about her learning the chords and stuff. And I was massively aware of Nirvana. Of course I was. And I admire them. And, you know, I guess I appreciate them more now than I did at the time, because there's so much choice then. But for me as a kid, I was far more into British music. I was very pleased when the British sort of scene exploded, not just, you know, guys with Union Jacks on their guitars, Noel, but, you know, the broader feeling that there was great innovation across dance music, you know, hip hop, trip hop, a weird electronica that I listened to a bit later, as well as like the guitar indie. But no, I wasn't a huge Nirvana fan. Are there any other massive omissions that you've spotted, Ben? I'd be interested.
Well, I don't want to say omission, because I like the fact that I actually like the fact that Dubstar feature more than Nirvana, because, you know, a lot has been written about Nirvana and not much has been written about Dubstar, you know. And it kind of, it was for me, it was really good to see. So not in terms of omission, but in terms of like things I was into, that maybe you went, and I don't know if it was like just age or taste or whatever, but like the shoegaze bands as well don't particularly appear. Cause that for me, that was like when I was really just starting to get into music, you know, just a bit earlier. And yeah, but not an omission.
Yeah, I mean, possibly you are a tiny bit older than me. So you're my Bloody Valentines and the Breeders and Dinosaur Juniors, Pavement. They were on the edges of my music knowledge. So I guess, again, as I've got older and sort of pieced the jigsaw together, I've become more conscious of how they influence maybe Blur. You know, Blur were really influenced by American shoegaze and indie and certainly those kind of Sonic Youth type bands. But again, it wouldn't be authentic if I added in all the things that I now know to be excellent from the 90s. I'm talking about music from the perspective of first an 11-year-old, you know, listening to Sinead O'Connor, and then They Might Be Giants in chapter one. Then I'm into football, so I've got World in Motion, New Order. Then I'm into pop, so Take That there. Chesney Hawkes is there. E17 make an appearance. And then it takes off for me. So I get into, you know, more bands that I would still listen to a lot now. So, you know, Mazzy Star is there. You know, Blur, Oasis, Pulp make an appearance. Big, you know, obvious bands of that age. Menswear, you know, underrated, seen as very sort of manufactured, but actually a great little album. And the sort of apex of Britpop, I guess. So, yeah, like I mentioned, I think at one point that there's a beauty in you know, because I was influenced quite a lot by a teacher of mine who was into music more from the 70s, so Brian Eno, David Bowie, Kate Bush, and how, you know, that every time you learn a new thing in music or get into a new song, there's like it itself has about 5 or 6 offshoots for you to follow. So, you know, bands like Lush, who I mentioned very briefly again, but they made me aware of that more shoegaze sound that I discovered a bit later.
Well, one of my favourite little bits is you write about a Chesney Hawkes B-side, I think. And it's just like, yeah, people should be writing about Chesney Hawkes B-sides, you know, because there's a lot about, you know, other bands. So I wanted to ask as well, you say at some point in the book that you managed to brainwash, and that's your word, your 16-year-old daughter into loving Belle and Sebastian and Pulp. I've got 2 kids who do not listen to my music. They do not like it at all. In fact, any time I mention the 90s, they tell me to shut up. So how on earth did you do it?
I'm very lucky because Frankie is 16 and has loads of fantastic music taste of her own that I know nothing of. We did a long drive this week together, and she was playing me all sorts of music that I hadn't heard before. She really loves Mitski, who played at Primavera in the summer. So she teaches me lots about new music, but she really loves, you know, Belle and Sebastian particularly. I think she now knows Belle and Sebastian's back catalogue in more detail than I do. She definitely loves Blur and Pulp. We listened to the whole of Park Life yesterday because I was talking about how music isn't consumed in albums anymore because of streaming. So she said, oh, should we listen to a whole one then? So I said, yep. Which one do you want? And I gave her a sort of mini choice of 90s classics, and she chose Park Life. So I'm blessed with a kid that wants to explore the music that's not from her time, but she also brings me a lot of music, which I love.
Ah, that's amazing. And you said you've got a summer of festival dates coming up, right? You readings, Q&As, what
are you doing? I'm very excited. I'm going to do one next weekend after the coming weekend. So I'm going to the Deershed Festival, which is in Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. So back to my roots. So I'll hopefully meet people there who recognise some of the places I describe in the book. But it's a really lovely festival, and I've been before, and it's up near Thirsk, if anybody knows the north of England. And so, yeah, I'll be doing a session on the Saturday there where I'll be doing a Q&A and then hopefully meeting people and just chatting about, I hope, everybody else's take on that era of music.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Connection is a song coming up and coming out through the music of the 90s is out now. Any plans for a Spanish edition?
Oh, I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that. I'll have to check with the publisher, but that would be great.
Well, I think they should. It's an excellent book. I've been really enjoying it. I reckon I'm going to finish it today because I've just been kind of racing through it and been really enjoying it. But thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward to reading more of what you write.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.